Small Biz Central. The Brain.
Our guest on this segment of the Small Biz Brain has more than 25 years' experience in buying and selling businesses. Tom Marks is the president and founder of Marks Group Advisors. The company specializes in mergers and acquisitions with a focus on providing those services to the automotive and heavy-duty aftermarkets. The Marks Group is headquartered in San Rafael, California, with offices in New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles. Joining us on the line from San Rafael, California is Tom Marks. He's the founder of the Marks Group, co-author of the book Marketing Sucks and Sales Too. Tom, welcome to the Small Biz Brain.
Great. Thank you very much for allowing me the opportunity to be with you this morning.
Absolutely. When you founded the Marks Group Advisors, what need did you originally want to fill, and what was the original vision behind this project?
We have noticed that in the aftermarket today, and I'm talking about aftermarket from the standpoint of both replacement performance and motorsports parts and accessories, that there's a lot of baby boomers who have gotten to the point now where they're in their 50s and 60s, and they're looking at their business. They may not have a family member in the business, and they're going, what do I do with this business now? I put my life and soul into this, and I have no place to go. And we saw this business as an opportunity to support those people in finding a way to have an exit strategy from their business that could create value for themselves for all the work they've done all these decades to bring these businesses from, in many cases, very small boutique companies to much larger companies. And we saw that we could provide, because of our 25 years' experience, the bridge between the seller and the buyer, or to help somebody actually expand their business by acquiring companies so they have a larger capital base.
What does the Marks Group Advisors do for business sellers and business buyers? Maybe taking it down to a little more tactical level, if you would.
We are a merger and acquisition specialist. We will support if somebody wants to sell their business in preparing their business for sale, making sure their financial statements are in order, making sure their strategy is in order, and then finding buyers for the business. Bringing the seller and the buyer together for the sake of getting the best value for the seller. The other side of our business would be in the acquisition side is we have companies that come to us who say, we want to grow in that particular category, and as a result of that, we need to find a company that meets these particular specifications. Find that for me. And I use my many years of experience in the business and networking to go out and find the potential acquisition candidate. The last piece, what we do is more of a consultative, which is in most of those situations, you have companies who are not that familiar with the merger and acquisition field, and we bring forth many years of experience to help them in preparing business for sale, and most importantly, if there is an acquisition, to have that integration of the two companies work so that the cultures of two companies are going to be successful.
When or why should or do individuals choose to buy or sell a business? What are the key drivers?
That's a great question. I think let's approach these from two different aspects. Let's approach it from the sell side. I think the sell side is, one area is, I don't want to be in this business any longer. The owner's put in his 20 years. Maybe something else is pulling him. Maybe he or she's close to retirement age. The other possibility is they may find that they simply cannot take their business to the next level due to lack of leadership, management, or capital, and they realize that they have to sell their business for the sake of being able to have that business be able to thrive in today's environment. The other possibility there is consolidations. The whole aftermarket is dealing with a consolidation frenzy right now, which is bringing companies of like product and channel marketing together for the sake of creating a bigger entity. On the buy side, it's actually quite the opposite. The buyer is looking at this and saying, I can be a more successful business if I had a larger base of business, if I had a product line that I could buy and sell rather than developing it through my own R&D facility,
yeah.
If I can buy a company that has certain types of relationships with retailers like Keystone or AutoZone or O'Reilly's or somebody like that, I can jumpstart this product line into those stores by buying somebody who already has those relationships. In some cases, they're buying the factory relationships. In today's market where so much is made overseas, they're buying a company that perhaps has overseas relationships with manufacturing companies that they don't have, and it gives them that expertise very quickly. So I think the short story on the acquisition side is that they're looking at the acquisition as being a more time and cost-effective way of growing their business than doing it themselves through the organic method of continuously increasing sales with existing products.
Sure. Makes a lot of sense. What, from your experience, do business owners not know about these transactions? And again, I know you're dealing with a buy and a sell side, and they may differ
Well, you know, it's very funny that you'd ask that. We just completed a transaction, and it got to the last moment, and everybody was very pleased, and all of a sudden something came up. Mm-hmm. And ironically, it was something that had come up by us probably 2 months earlier, but the players in it just simply didn't see it as being an issue. Wow. I think fundamentally is that a business owner who has designed a business is not a merger and acquisition specialist. Yeah. This is a very funny art with lots of arcane rules and lots of possibilities of unique agreements that happen between companies. And having somebody who has experience in that domain is going to oftentimes make the difference between having a good deal and a bad deal. So I think they turn to M&A specialists like ourselves simply because they do not have the expertise. The other part of it is, in the case of a company that's selling, confidentiality is incredibly important. You don't want, when you're selling your company, to have your employees and your customers and your suppliers know that you're selling your company. Even if you're selling it under the best circumstances, people will think, I'm out of a job, I'm losing a customer, I'm no longer going to get supplied by my supplier. So the ability to do this confidentially means it has to be done by a third party who's outside the walls of your office, who can do the negotiations, find somebody as a candidate, and bring it to the table without having being public knowledge within the company. I think that latter part is a very, very important part of this business, as that level of confidentiality will oftentimes make the difference between a successful or unsuccessful deal.
Is there a profound difference between working in, say, an area you're focused in, which would be the automotive and heavy-duty aftermarkets? Is there a difference between those and other types of business models in terms of orchestrating these transactions effectively?
I don't particularly think so. We've operated in other areas as well, technology and in some transactions dealing with manufacturing companies outside the aftermarket. I don't think so. I think what we're faced with, especially in today's market, is a seller always believes their business is worth more than the buyer.
Yeah.
That's reality. So our job is to maximize the return on investment for the seller if in that type of a transaction, but also deal with it within a relatively realistic realm so we're not just fleeting after rainbows. On the buyer side, of course, the buyer always thinks that the company they're buying is devalued. They will make a long list of why that's an awful company, it's in a bad marketplace, the products aren't good, the building is falling down, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Helping that buyer to understand that that person selling the company has their own viewpoint of maximizing their value is very important. So there is a lot of the psychological game that happens here that I think is important in this whole strategy. That game is the same whether or not you're dealing in auto parts or you're selling a computer chip company.
Our guest is Tom Marks. Marks Group Advisors is the company. That's www.marxgroupadvisors.com. Tom, how would you say, if I were to ask you, how working with your company, a consultancy, is different than working with a broker? How would you respond?
I think a broker's role is to oftentimes find and bring buyers and sellers together. Our role is to be much more integrated in the entire process.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a hard and fast rule. Mm-hmm. There are brokers out there that probably do what we do. But I think it is our intimacy with the aftermarket, the particular channels, allows us to be able to play a role where we become a very important confidant to the owners of the company through this process. I think a broker takes a little more hands-off approach once they bring the buyer and seller together. We stay present through the letter of agreement, the due diligence, and the definitive agreement stages all the way through to the end. We take a very vested interest in the welfare of our client and how this deal comes down.
You mentioned one story earlier in the interview. Are there any blatant due diligence types of activities that you see folks overlooking?
It's a great question, David. I would say that the biggest one that they overlook is what is the customer base going to be really worth at the end of the day after the transaction? We had a recent deal that went down where a buyer was buying a company really specifically for the relationship that the seller had with one customer. And we spent weeks, and I mean weeks, dealing with the contingencies about what happens if that one customer goes away or decreases their sales dramatically. And it's a significant challenge to be able to look into the future and be able to envision what may happen. I think the short answer there is that you have to look at the due diligence as a complete undressing. Now, there's going to be nothing that's going to be sacred. You've got to be willing to reveal it all, and you've got to be willing to reveal it as it is without painting a picture around it. The biggest risks that happen in these deals is when somebody withholds information, it will be discovered at some point, whether it's before or after the sales closes, and that's what leads to legal issues. Our relationship and the due diligence process to make sure that the truth is known.
Let's talk about financing the sale, Tom. As a seller or a buyer, what are the options and the pros and cons of each?
Well, of course, there's the traditional bank financing. You can go out to your bank and ask for a loan to finance a deal. That's a great opportunity simply because there's nobody else telling you how to manage the business. You make a loan, you pay it off, bank is happy, nobody else is involved in the business aspects of it. The other possibility is you do something that's like a leveraged buyout, where basically you're buying a company and you're paying for the value of that company through the increased revenue you get. And the third way is to have an equity partner. An equity partner comes in and their role simply is to provide funding, and for that funding they're going to get a piece of the action. And the good news about that is it's somebody else's money. The money is more readily available, and it still is available even in today's odd financial markets. The downside to it is you've given up a piece of the rock, and you've got somebody who is asking you to be accountable.
Yeah.
I think in many transactions I've seen, the latter actually is very positive because it forces management to really be much more pragmatic about its decisions. But you have to be willing to have the opportunity to share that responsibility with somebody else. The other advantage of an equity partner is that if you're looking to build your business continuously, there's going to be a limit at some point to the cash you have to make these transactions happen.
Mm-hmm.
Having somebody else there as the bank is a great opportunity to be able to expand your business if you're doing it through acquisitions.
I have in my list seller's note. Anything to know about structuring those types of deals?
Well, a seller's note is certainly part of the scheme. I think in today's world, it's a challenging item because the seller has got to have tremendous confidence that the new buyer is going to run this business profitably. If the buyer does not run the business profitably, then you run the risk of having to take the business back in a damaged condition and not receiving the rest of your money. We advise people to do that only under circumstances where they are really, really confident of the ability of the buyer to be able to fulfill its obligations.
Would you, for my benefit, describe in a little bit greater detail a leveraged buyout and what the mechanics of that are again?
Well, mechanics of leveraged buyout are is you are going to buy a company that is, for example, pulling off a certain level of EBITDA, mm-hmm. 10 times EBITDA, some substantial cash flow, and you're actually going to take that cash flow and use that cash flow to pay back the owners of the company part of the purchase price. So you may make a down payment and then pay it out of the earnings of the combined company moving forward.
Oh, I see.
Leverage buyout also can be looked at as another direction, which is the existing management of the company may want to buy the company, and they'll do the leverage buyout again based upon the profits coming out of the company to pay back the original owners. So leverage buyout could be done by internal people buying that company. It could be done by an outside company buying that company.
So the leverage is about the future cash flow.
Correct.
Okay. How about roll-up?
Well, we have a relationship right now with an equity financing company that is wanting to develop roll-ups in certain channels in the aftermarket. And simply it is they want to have five or six companies in certain channels, certain product categories, that they want to bring together as a group of companies. And they'll bring these five companies together, and their belief is, and I think this has been supported historically, that the value of those five companies will be greater than the individual companies if then later sold as a group.
I see.
So what ends up happening is they roll up these companies into something called John's Aftermarket Parts, Inc., as an example, and then that company would then maybe hold on to it for 4 or 5 years, receive positive cash flow, and then sell it perhaps to another equity company at a profit down the road.
So it's an aggregation model.
That is correct. That's a great word.
I love that word.
That's a great word.
Let's turn to marketing. I know you're also the CEO of the Marks Group, and this is a full-service marketing communications company. What does the Marks Group do differently than other marketing firms?
We have 25-plus years' experience in the aftermarket, again, through all channels, replacement, performance, motorsports. And I think what's really happened is in the last 10 years, we've become very engaged in the industry. We're involved in quite a few committees and organizations, both with SEMA, AAIA, and AASA. And as a result of that, we find ourselves kind of at the heartbeat of what's going on in this industry. So that's one part of it is I think we really understand this business. The second thing is we, I would say we're thought leaders many times in the marketing strategies we bring forth, whether they've been very healthy lead generation programs in the past or digital marketing efforts now.
Yeah.
We have a staff that is very focused on bringing certain initiatives about, which are, I believe, different thinking than most typical marketing communications or ad agencies are. Today, we're actually in the midst of developing a new division of our company that is focused strictly on green products. So we have two clients on board already that are in that particular domain, and our goal is for us to be known as the preeminent aftermarket company in marketing green technology. So that's an area that we're heading. I have a lot of personal passion about that, and I'm excited that we will be able to bring that type of a business to bear, support companies like that, at the same time be able to make a contribution to the health of our environment.
Excellent. And finally, I did want, if you would, describe your newsletter, The Catalyst. How often do you publish it? What's in it? And how can we subscribe?
It's very funny you should ask that, David. We were just finishing our 63rd issue this week. So we have published this. We try to publish it every month, but like anybody else, we'll get a little bit sloppy about that. But for the last five, 6 years, we've been publishing Catalyst. It's a short, simple newsletter, email newsletter that provides marketing tips. And what we believe as a philosophy, it's our responsibility to give away valuable information to people in this industry. Whether you're a client or not, we want to help you grow your business and be more successful in the domain of marketing and sales. So Catalyst is that monthly vehicle for us to speak to the world and provide that kind of marketing insight. The way you can subscribe to it is you go to www.themarxgroup.com, and that's spelled themarxgrp.com. On our homepage is a button that says subscribe to Catalyst. And you can then go ahead and opt in at that point. And, of course, you can opt out at any time you want to as well.
Sure. And that website is www.themarxgroup.com. That's the marketing company that you're the CEO of, a full-service marketing. And then much of our discussion today was focused on your M&A group, which is www.marxgroupadvisors.com, just like it sounds. Tom Marx, thanks so much for joining us on the Small Biz Brain. I hope we can do it again.
Great. Thanks very much, David. Have a great day.
Small Biz America.
The Brain.
This podcast is produced by Small Biz America.
Small Biz.
Small Biz Central.